Welcome to another edition of San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley. Without further ado, enjoy the program.
The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce is proud to sponsor the monthly Monte Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast, highlighting member businesses, events, and organizations. The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce exists to promote businesses and events in the Monte Vista area. They serve its members and the community at large by planning and hosting many local events, social media promotions, advertising, and help to improve community relations and communications among the residents and guests of the Monte Vista area. Their mission is to advance a sustainable business environment and improve the quality of life for the community. The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce is located at 947 First Avenue in Monte Vista. You can call them at 719-852-2731. That's 719-852-2731. Or visit their website, montevistachamber.org. That's montevistachamber.org. And check back at the beginning of every month for another Monte Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast.
Coming up on this podcast are three special interviews. The first is with a member of the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors, Kyle Riggenbach, who is also the general manager of Rain Brews. Then we have the August 2020 Chamber of Commerce Business of the Month, the Monte Vista Co-op, featuring Petroleum Director Scotty Morris, Administrative Assistant Denise Temple, and Farm Store Manager Stephanie Schaefer. And wrapping up this podcast is the August Featured Business of the Month, The Finery, featuring owner Debbie Garcia.
I'm Adam, and this is the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce Business Spotlight for August 2020, in the beginning of our second year producing podcasts featuring local businesses and our chamber board. Special thanks to the Monte Vista Chamber for continuing this series. We really do appreciate it. And as a quick summary, in the first year, we produced 12 Spotlight podcasts featuring 32 businesses. We interviewed 51 different people, and the podcast series has had over 34,000 total listens so far. Part of each month's podcast is to introduce our listeners to our local Chamber of Commerce and the good folks behind the scenes, the people who are keeping everything running. This month, we're talking to Kyle Riggenbach. Kyle is one of the newest Chamber Board members and the general manager of a local business here, Rain Brews. Kyle, welcome to SL Voices.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Let's first get your story. Where are you originally from?
I'm from here.
You are?
Yeah, I grew up on a little farm out east of town and went to school here, went to a couple different high schools, but spent most of my time at this Monte Vista High School. And after that, I just went off and did adventures. So, born and raised here.
Well, Kyle, what was it like growing up here in Monte Vista?
This is a small farm town, and I don't really know an experience beyond that. In my opinion, it was great. Yeah, I got to know people, got to know teachers, all that stuff.
Are there other groups you're involved with here locally besides the chamber?
Chamber is the biggest one. Like, I tried to get involved with the theater before COVID. That didn't go through, but my main focus is pretty much just running the businesses.
I'm going to say it's a full-time thing just doing that, isn't it?
Yeah, and the brews one is, in theory, takes the majority of my time, but it's like an 80-20 rule, mm-hmm. where most of my time goes to brews, but then some other stuff happens with some of the other businesses, so I don't necessarily spend a whole time on other boards and stuff.
What do you like to do in your off time? Any hobbies or special interests?
I just like working, to be honest.
You're a workaholic?
Yeah, I guess that's fair. If I don't feel productive, it's just kind of like a little gnat in my mind. So as far as hobbies, not necessarily anything outside of that.
Well, as I mentioned, you are the general manager at Rain Brews, and we are actually down here recording this at Rain Brews. Tell me about it, and please feel free to get into as much detail as you want. What's the mission of Rain Brews to start with?
Well, Rain Brews started as a concept where another business called Rain Home Care needed an office.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other office space wasn't, I guess, sufficient. Carol, my mother, she kind of did the exploring on that, and she wasn't satisfied with any other office. And this building was available and at a great price at the time, and it was abandoned for so long. Like, I personally, like, going through high school 10 years ago, nothing was ever in this building. So it was offered at a great price, so we snagged the building for the objective of having an office for Rain Home Care. Rain Home Care doesn't need a whole lot of square footage, so we had to kind of invent other stuff to put in here.
Mm-hmm.
So given that, given the location and the size and some of the lacking opportunities within Monte Vista itself, we came up with the idea of a coffee shop slash little tap house. our original goal was just to provide simple gathering spot and just kind of build it off that and kind of see what else kind of happened along the road. So I guess that would be the simple mission, is just a simple little gathering spot, nothing more advanced than that. And we just kind of rocking it out since.
Nice. Well, how long has Rain Brews been in business?
We first opened of Stampede last year, so that would be July 25th-ish. We've been remodeling it since February, so we had 4 or 5 months of remodel time. And then we've just been working on the concept. Like, we initially got the building in back December of 18.
Mm-hmm.
Through that time, we were working on the concept. So yeah, I guess Brews as an entity has been since July last year.
So you're bumping up against your first anniversary now.
We are, yeah.
Well, congratulations. That's great.
Yeah, thank you.
Who came up with the actual idea for Rain Brews?
Given a simple gathering spot, the economic concepts that we wanted to attack is something that was consumable and something that was customized. So the reason for that is consumable in the sense that we're getting repeat visits to make the business sustainable, and customized in the sense that it won't get outdated by other things like anything happening on the internet or anything like that. So that's where that came in. So given those two concepts of consumable and customized, a coffee shop works great because lattes and stuff can be ordered online and it's very personalized. People make stuff different every day and baristas are great just executing what people want. And then the craft beer is a growing industry and we wanted to use that as well. There's a couple spots in the valley that have a great presence, but Monta Vista just was out of the loop on that, so we wanted to fill that niche.
So you are carrying craft brews as well?
Yeah, that was our main focus when we originally designed it. The coffee shop was kind of an afterthought because we had that initial kitchen opening up, but craft beer was the initial idea behind what we wanted to do. And then it turned out to be the dual business of a coffee shop and a bar that specializes in craft beer.
Tell me about what's on the menu and how did you settle on these particular items?
So the menu's fun to deal with. I would say that it's essentially kind of thrown together. How the beer side worked out is I'm not a craft beer expert nor a bar expert, so we just kind of built it as we go, and we partnered with Clara Farm Brewery. They're our originally partners, so they helped set up our tap system, and we found these great towers and say, oh, you know, 8 tap lines per tower, perfect, let's dedicate a tower to each brewery. So then we decided our capacity was that we were able to go with 24 tap lines. And that was able to figure out the menu for the bar, and then we just kind of threw in mixed drinks later. Coffee-wise, coffee goes hand in hand. Like, if you're doing espresso coffee, you're going to be able to offer pretty much everything that all the other coffee shops offer. You're not going to be restricted or stretched out beyond what other coffee shops are doing. And then the food menu was kind of built off. We needed to make food that was friendly for baristas to prepare, but also still attractive for people to be able to enjoy and sit down. So that was a fun mix where we're not necessarily a full-blown restaurant where we have waiters and menus that sit at the table, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we're a little bit more than like a convenience store. We had to find that balance, and that is probably one of the things that's always going to be kind of iterating on itself. Like, I would say that our food menu is not perfect right now, and we're going to continue iterating on and kind of refine it as we go.
But you're changing and refining based on the taste and the interest of the clients here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, for example, we have these giant pretzels, and that was one of the first things we put on there. And it worked great to see the product and all that stuff, and it's gotten great reaction. It's something very unique. And then some of the bad stuff that's kind of gone through is like a customized panini sandwich. That was fun to experiment with, but it turned out that I didn't necessarily hire cooks or anything like that. I hired baristas. I needed it for them to stay baristas. So we kind of had to trim down the menu to allow for our staff to be able to execute it properly. Like, and an omelets is another example where in theory, omelets are very easy to do. But when you're crushingly busy and people are, you know, waiting on stuff, et cetera, it just needs to be a little bit simpler. So that was the mix that we needed to hit with our menu.
And again, you're experimenting and you're coming up with different things, and that's great. It's evolving as you go along.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Kyle, can you provide me with a little history of the Facet building here?
To my understanding, it was one of the first buildings in Monta Vista, and I think some of the years on it was built in 1898,
mm-hmm.
and it was one of the first buildings in Monty. I've heard some stories that some of the houses were built before it, but it was one of the main first buildings in Monty, and it was used as more of a overall mercantile, where anything that came through town was either bought or sold here, like cows, hay, clothing, general just food, stuff like that. And then what I've heard is around the 1920s, it turned into more of a dedicated clothing store. And that's where the Facets kind of got their name, was it was a dedicated clothing store. And one of the sections was used as a grocery store as well during that time. So like the mezzanine section was used as the men's store. And then the downstairs was used as the women's side. And then another part was used as children's. And then the grocery store was in the second part.
Mm-hmm.
So then that kind of continued. And then once around like the late 80s, there was a fire that was brought about as far as an insurance fraud case. So the gentleman that owned it at the time, he decided that he didn't want to stay involved or whatever his mental guidance was. He decided to go for an insurance fraud, so he burned the building down. And I got a good rocking right there. So through that, the ownership changed to a gentleman named J.R. Ford based out of Pagosa Springs. He got it after the building was stabilized, and he had to do some remodeling to get it in a safe spot from the burning and all that. And we still have scars from that. Like, some of our joists still have some charcoal on them, so it's kind of interesting. But given that, J.R. Ford tried to lease out the individual section, so the first bay was leased out, second bay, et cetera, et cetera. And then through that process, a lot of businesses attempted to hold ground in them. I personally remember a flower shop back in the early 2000s, and then there was Curves, like a little gym session, and then there was like an art co-op, a Mennonite coffee shop was here as well. So I would say 20 businesses tried to rock the building throughout that process, and that was a long time, like about 30 years. But the majority of the time through that leasing model, it was mostly abandoned. And that was the majority of my memory. Like, going through high school in the 2000s, 2005, it was always just abandoned. There was nothing really specific in here. So yeah, general history. And then we snagged it from J.R. Ford in 2018.
God, what is it about Rain Brews that makes it so appealing? I have heard it's likened unto Monta Vista's living room.
So what we tried to do with like the decor and atmosphere and all that stuff is we wanted to host a place where you're able to get a wide range of drinks from smoothies, coffees, beers, all that stuff, but still create an environment that's like friendly for kids and just have a huge age range that people would be allowed to be here. So we have everything from mothers bringing in their kids to high schoolers coming in on their own, all the way up to people rolling in wheelchairs, and it works great. That was our general concept of what we wanted to try to do as far as the atmosphere. Through the remodeling process that we started last year, we wanted to liven up the building to encapsulate that. So we got rid of some of the boring sheetrock, we got rid of boring carpet, and just jazzed up the building. We added some fun stuff, like built a fireplace, built a pond.
That's a new addition, the pond, isn't it?
Yeah. We threw in the fireplace before we were open, and that worked out fine. Then the pond we built during our COVID break.
Right.
And it's always kind of an ongoing thing. Like right now, our current project is getting our bathrooms inspected. They were finished, but they just need to be inspected plumbing-wise. And our new bathrooms are great. That was the main goal of the whole remodeling process to begin with, is we had to increase our stall count and all that stuff.
What would you say is the biggest challenge you all have faced since opening?
The continuing ongoing challenge is, I would say, trying to figure out the food. As mentioned before, the food is always kind of a thing where it's a nice balance of trying to attempt to pull off a very light restaurant, but keeping it friendly for our baristas to be able to execute, given their skill set and their time allowed to execute such an order. We've had two big revamps of the food menu.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be it. We're just going to do small iterations going out.
Okay.
But I would say that was one of our biggest challenges.
Is there a particular coffee that is what you would say the most popular here?
I would say it would either be a tie between a dirty chai and a caramel macchiato. So a dirty chai is going to be a chai drink, which is a little bit sweet, a little bit spicy, and then the dirtiness comes in from adding espresso shots. So it has a coffee flavor as well. Caramel macchiato is going to be a mix of caramel and vanilla. A little bit on the sweeter side than a normal latte, but then still within the coffee realm of having espresso shots and serving as a coffee substitute.
Do you have any strange, unique, or funny experiences that you've encountered since becoming a general manager at Rain Brews?
So unique-wise, it's not necessarily the best memory, but I do have a gentleman that he was an avid patron of ours a while ago, back in like February. And then when we had to shut down for COVID, he didn't quite understand the concept of shutting down. His memory involves some pepper spray, the police, and all that stuff.
Oh my.
So that's not necessarily a good memory. As far as a really positive one.
Ah, give me a positive one.
Some of our singers have really stood out. Like, we had this lady called Megan McGuire. She just had a voice that the whole room just stopped. It was during an open mic night that she performed. And so obviously, you know, during some of the performers, people were lackadaisical as far as paying attention, not necessarily giving the speaker or the singer their full, you know, audience, all that stuff. But then when Megan McGuire took the stage, it was just amazing as far as her commanding voice and just what happened to the audience. And then what happened to myself as well is like one of those chilling moments that, wow, that person is, she knows what she's doing as far as entertainment wise.
Kyle, how has the whole COVID-19 situation affected Rain Brews, and what have you all had to do to adapt?
Sure. So COVID situation is interesting because it's kind of specifically targeting us, where we wanted to be a gathering spot to allow people to meet and visit with each other, all that stuff. So given that, that is exactly what COVID is affecting, is meeting spots. So what we've tried to do is When we first got the order to adjust what we were doing back in March, we tried to run off a purely takeout type model, but that model wasn't going too well. So we decided just to shut down completely, and that allowed us to commit a lot of time to the construction process.
Mm-hmm.
So within the construction process, we spent 3 months just rocking out stuff that we needed to finish, like their bathrooms, little nicks and knacks, like putting baseboards in, mm-hmm. painting some walls, finishing up our ceiling tile, all that stuff. So COVID allowed us to do that, a lot of that, and that was great. And now that we're past that stage, we're running into a fun situation where COVID itself is a controversial subject as whether it's real or not, or whether its effects are real, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we have customers of ours that are on all sides of the spectrum. We have people that fully believe in COVID and they've had family members die and sick and all that stuff. And we heard great stories from these people. And then we have people that don't believe it at all and are really insulted about the whole thought of it in general. So we've had to hit a nice balance as far as trying to be safe, respectful for our current situation, following the guidelines set by the government, and just using our best judgment moving forward.
Sure.
So given that, we tried to execute a model where limit our availability as far as seating-wise and making sure that the bar wasn't attracting too much attention and then shutting down all our events, but still remaining open for the people who would feel comfortable gathering and meeting with people that they're comfortable seeing within a certain foot radius, all that stuff. So that's been a fine balance as far as trying to be respectful with all the stuff that's going on and still playing some fine lines as far as the controversial subject of as far as COVID's true effects.
Kyle, why did Rain Brews join the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce?
Back in March of 2019, we did a soft opening during our construction process where for the Crane Festival, we just opened up even though nothing was hardly done. We just kind of was in a demolition stage at that point. So we just opened up for the Crane Fest.
Mm-hmm.
So all the floor was tore up, all that stuff. And we just had a small little event just to get people oriented as far as what was happening in this building and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And some chamber officers arrived during that event. And they kind of loved the idea of what we were trying to do with this building as far as host just a gathering spot for people just to come out and do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we loved the idea of hosting events with the chamber. I think one of our first events we did was the Parade of Lights back in 2018 as well. That was before we even did any remodeling whatsoever. So we still had white sheetrock, green carpet, all that stuff. So we did the Parade of Lights with them. And that went really well. We had a lot of fun. Served free hot chocolate, free cookies, all that stuff. And our location worked great because the Parade of Lights turned on our corner where our windows captured a lot of action. So that worked great. And I would say the Parade of Lights, along with our mid-construction opening with the Crane Festival, got attention of the chamber officers, I guess. So then later on in our construction process, I would say like in June or something, the chamber officers approached me to be a board member and all that stuff. And I was greatly excited to join them and take their offer because I knew that the events that the chamber executed would work well with what we were trying to do with Rain Brews.
Mm-hmm.
So given that, being a board member and all that stuff, it was a natural fit for the brews itself, Rain Brews itself, to just be a chamber member.
Let's circle back around to the town. If you had the power to dispel a common misconception or preconceived notion about Monte Vista, what would that be?
Okay, that's a fun question. So I wouldn't know of a preconceived notion that is essentially like a myth or is not necessarily in line with the reality of what Monte Vista actually is. So I don't know if I'm truly able to answer that one, to be honest.
Can you apply that to Rain Brews? Are there preconceived notions or misconceptions about your business here that you'd like to dispel?
Sure. Well, Rain Brews itself is, I guess, defined in the minds of its customers, to be honest. So if customers perceive it as something, I would assume that that's mostly true, and I wouldn't necessarily argue against it. If people think that we're, let's say, just an event center,
mm-hmm.
I would say, okay, sure, that has an attachment to truth. I would say we're maybe a little bit more than that, and say we have a coffee shop bar, all that stuff. But then the person who perceives us as just an event center just doesn't probably want to come for coffee or beer. They just want to come for events. So I guess that works out. So our perception or whatever Rain Brews is just perceived as the customer. And I think that is probably going to remain the truest conception of what Rain Brews. And I don't think that we'll try to necessarily argue against that because each customer will have their own perception and we will try to honor that the best that we can, I guess.
Okay. Where would you like to see Monte Vista, say, 3 to 5 years from now, and how would you propose we get there?
I think some of the big stuff that I would like to see is the city stop owning some of the amenities, like the museum, the theater, stuff like that. And I think the city would be glad to take that off their own hands.
Mm-hmm.
So if that would allow to happen, like when I was growing up, the theater was run by a gentleman named Keloff. He did a great job, but apparently the demand just wasn't there. And then we lost our swimming pool. So we've lost a lot of entertainment places like theater, swimming pool, museum, all that stuff. So if Monta Vista can get in a point where those are able to be owned by private enterprises that are looking to push their own interests the best they can as far as making those places the best that they're able to do, I think that would be a great goal for Monta Vista to kind of get there. And I think with the new Sky High, that's a great step in the right direction as far as able to maintain and execute even better events to allow for a bigger tourist crowd to support recreational places like a theater and swimming pool.
What are some of the biggest challenges you believe the next generation of young business owners are facing? Your generation and younger, these young entrepreneurs who are coming up in the world and want to do something, start a business, what are the biggest problems they're facing?
Some of the big struggles that I faced is I have a business partner, my mother, and she is a fun person. We have a very different train of thought on a lot of things. So some of the big stuff that we had to figure out as far as our age difference and our belief difference was I didn't want to install anything that burned anything whatsoever as far as a heating source in our building when we did the remodel. So that's why we went with electric fireplace. And Carol is a firm believer of she loves wood-burning stoves. They're very entertaining, and I completely agree that they're entertaining and all that stuff, but some of the stuff coming up in our generation is we're going to have to deal with some fun stuff as far as our environment, and that is a very real fact that it's not really arguable at this point. So as far as what business owners are going to have to deal with is we will get government guidelines probably in the next 10, 20 years as far as what we're able to do, adjusting what the environment perceives and all that stuff, but we'll have a fun responsibility as far as our involvement just beyond the government guidelines. So that's a fun thing that I guess that we're going to have to deal with as young business owners. And just a matter of automation is probably going to be a lot of fun coming up as well.
You don't see your baristas being replaced by robots, do you?
Well, we explore that idea. Like there is a legit tap house in Salida. They run a completely automated system where a bartender gives you like a little card and you take that card to let's call it a keg. So you take that card to a keg and then it just measures how much beer you take out of that keg and then it's all automatically dispensed and all that stuff. We explored that idea for ourselves because in theory that is a very fun and easy way to go about it, but we went away from that and we wanted a true legit bartender because my generation is dealing with some fun social issues as far as not connecting with other people and all that stuff and staying online too much. And we wanted to give a legit bartender so that people are not necessarily forced, but they're interacting to be able to get what they want and all that stuff. Because the interaction of a bartender, I think, is going to be very important and not just beyond what we're doing. Just human interaction, I think, is going to be very important. Just raw in the straight, nothing fancy as far as a video screen, all that stuff. So
it gives it a personal appeal, too. It's a personal touch.
Exactly. And I think the same concept will flow over into the barista, where hopefully we're able to maintain some level of a true barista doing their thing, like let's say even in the very, very long term, like 50 years. The barista is going to be something that's going to stay with us because human interaction, I think, is very important, but automation is real as far as the convenience and speed that I think there's going to be a mix just moving forward. And probably for a very long time, there's going to be a mix of human interaction and automation.
Interesting. Kyle, what question should I have asked you but didn't?
I'm not a coffee or beer specialist. I came actually down here to work on a project that was the home care, which pretty much enables or suits more into my specialty. So what we're doing now is I actually have another manager in training that is actually knows a lot about coffee, knows a lot about beer and all that stuff. So that's a fun little thing that I like to kind of make sure people are aware is that this is not something I'm necessarily talented at or I enjoy, stuff like that. So it's kind of a fun little gimmick that we're trying to pull off here.
Yeah, but I've seen you at the bar. You're knocking it out when it's busy.
That's because I enjoy the speed and efficiency of that. But as far as like the interaction, I'm very introverted myself and some of my talents more rely on not just mixing drinks. My base core is I'm a computers and I'm a finance guy. And that doesn't line in to all of as far as hospitality, food, coffee, all that stuff. So that's a very fun interaction that some people love asking me about that as far as like I can't even taste the beer or coffee just because I hate the taste of alcohol and coffee in general. So that makes a very fun dynamic as far as managing Rain Brews. Yeah, that's a kind of a fun thing to deal with. But just going on, like we're in a fun spot where I'm able to manage more of the overall goal. And I have great people in place to manage the product and hospitality and stuff that I'm just not necessarily good at. So it's a fun little dynamic that we have going on here.
Interesting. Kyle, anything else you'd like to mention, sir?
So Rain Brews itself is kind of a fun little place. the amount of compliments and stuff that we get as far as what we're trying to do here is just amazing. And the community has just embraced it greatly. So we're having a lot of fun with it. And it's a great mix of you're able to do what you need to do in a safe environment. Like you get to wear your mask. There's a great large area that you can stay away from, you know, other people that you're worried about, all that stuff. So you're able to get what you need as far as a coffee, beer, latte, all that stuff, and just have fun, have a nice conversation, all that stuff. And we're trying to execute all that stuff in a very safe environment. We're having fun with it and going down that direction.
All right. Well, Kyle, I appreciate you taking the time to tell us about your position as one of the Chamber Board members and, of course, your very unique business, as we jokingly call it, Monta Vista's Living Room, 104 Adams Street here in Monta Vista. Come on down to Rain Brews, meet Kyle. I'm sure he'll take a little bit of time and show you around, or one of the baristas will, and let you know all about what's going on here. It's a neat, dynamic new business, and we appreciate it. Thank you, Kyle.
Perfect. Yeah, thank you, Adam.
People like to do business with companies that give back to and are involved in their communities. Since 1949, the Monta Vista Cooperative Association has taken that concept a step further. Their company is owned and run by members of the community, which means the Monta Vista Cooperative is in business first and foremost to serve its members, with all of their profits going back into the community.
I'm Adam, and have you ever wondered what's so special about the Monta Vista Co-op? Have you ever been to one of their stores? Yes, there is more than one. Are you aware of all the special products and services they offer? What about membership? Is it required? To get answers to these and a number of other questions, we got together with Scotty Morris. Scotty is the Petroleum Director, Denise Temple, Administrative Assistant, and Stephanie Schaefer. She's the Farm Store Manager here at our own Monta Vista Co-op. Welcome to SL Voices, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Well, first, let's get your stories. Scotty, we'll start with you. Where are you originally from, sir?
I am from Antonito. I grew up here in the Valley.
You did?
Yeah.
What was it like growing up here in the Valley?
It's a small town America. You know, everybody knows everybody. It was great growing up here in rural America. I really enjoyed it.
Stephanie, what about you? Where are you originally from?
I'm from Monta Vista. I graduated from Monta Vista High School, and my family has a farm here and has for many years. Yeah, so I'm a native myself, too.
All right, Denise, how about you?
I'm from Eastern Colorado in a little town called Kit Carson, out in the plains.
Well, how did you end up in the San Luis Valley then?
We came to Canyon City, first of all, where my husband's folks lived, and then we all moved over this way and purchased a ranch and farm, and we've been here approximately 45 years.
Well, Scotty, we'll start with you again. Tell me a little bit about yourself, your past, your history, things you've done before the Monta Vista Co-op.
Well, I've spent a lot of time in the transportation industry, graduated from Antonito High School, did a four-year tour in the Marine Corps. And then I came home and kind of bounced around several different jobs in the transportation industry. And 2003, landed here at the Monta Vista Co-op, and I've been here ever since. Really enjoy what I'm doing and having a lot of fun.
We're going to find out a little bit more about what you're doing a little later. And Denise, how about you?
I've been here for 30 years at the Monta Vista Co-op. It's been good for me. We've raised our family here through the co-op, it seems like, and it's a great job, and I love what I'm doing.
Stephanie?
I actually have only been with the co-op a little bit over a year. And before the co-op, I worked at Chili's in Alamosa for about 13 years and have been in restaurant industry and service industry since I graduated from high school. And I graduated from Adams State. I've enjoyed staying in the Valley and living in the Valley ever since. And working at the co-op just made sense for me to be able to stay in the Valley. So I'm really enjoying it.
From food service to co-op. How did that happen?
I don't know. It just did. But, you know, really what it is customer service and being able to provide a good experience for people. And so that's what I'm still doing at the farm store.
What about your off time? Hobbies or special interests?
Oh, you know, I love to go fishing and go to the mountains and go camping and four-wheeling and enjoying the winter weather, going snowmobiling and ice fishing. And pretty much my life the last 4 years has involved athletics with my daughter, who recently graduated from Alamosa High School. So obviously that's changed quite a bit recently with the COVID stuff. So yeah, I've been adjusting. No more athletics for me. So been a change.
For the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
You're doing those typical Colorado outdoor things.
Yeah, I love it.
Denise, what about you? Hobbies, special interests?
Four-wheeling, anything outside with the cattle and the grandkids. We have 15 grandkids, so keeps us busy with all their events and activities, and family time is great.
That is awesome. Scotty, hobbies, special interests?
I think we're going to be in an echo chamber here because it's the same thing for me. Anything outdoors. I love to archery hunt. Do a lot of boating in the summer months. We like to go out and wakeboard and water ski. A lot of time with the family, doing outdoor activities, hiking, fishing, camping, things like that. So yeah, just typical Colorado type stuff is what we all enjoy.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing at all.
The Monte Vista Co-op is the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce's Business of the Month for August. So congratulations, everybody.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Let's discuss the co-op. Please feel free to get into as much detail as you want to. And we'll start with the basics. What is the mission of the Monte Vista Co-op?
Our mission is to provide options and information, leading-edge technology, quality products and services to enhance profitability of the membership today and in the future.
All right. You want to put that in English?
So as an ag supply cooperative, agriculture is, that's our roots. That's how this company started.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us to provide inputs and options, leading edge type business solutions to our ag community here in the San Luis Valley is where we're at. That's why we exist. That is the core of what we do. That is our identity, always will be. But we also offer other things. We have, you know, for your general consumer, we have a lot of other products that anyone, member or non-member, can come in here and do business and trade with this company. So we're very proud of the product lines and the options we offer to not just the ag community, but everyone.
If you look at the list or look at the website, you've got grain, feed, fertilizer, petroleum, equipment, supplies. You even do car care.
Sure.
Clothing, trailers.
Yes.
It's an unbelievable list of things that you do.
Yep. We run the gamut for sure.
When did the co-op actually start?
In 1949. So we've been going approximately 71 years.
Yep. Just over 70 years.
And why was it started?
To have a better purchasing power, to buy things in bulk at a better price.
I think it's a little over a handful of farmers got together initially and pooled their money, their resources, to buy fuel for their farms. That was the initial start of the company, and then it kind of grew into what it is today over the last 71 years.
Can you tell me how things have evolved and changed for the better over the past, as you said, 71 years?
Well, our membership is approximately 7,000, so we have a good following.
We've grown significantly. I think that we've gotten better at business and we've expanded our product line and we have found ways to serve our community better in business and also in some of the things that we do for the community in the way of our scholarship programs and all the things that we bring to the table aside from business to the community.
Just how many locations do you have across the valley, and is each unique and different than the other?
Somewhat. We have, as far as retail locations go, we have, you know, obviously the headquarters here in Monte Vista, which includes our convenience store. You mentioned our car care center where we do a lot of tires. That is also here. And then what we call our farm store, which is a farm supply store. It's a hardware store, a clothing store. There's a lot to be said for that store. So there's a lot going on there, a lot of moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
We also offer a full line of feed from dog and cat food all the way up to animal health and any livestock care feed and as well. And then you get to our Alamosa location, which is another retail facility where we sell gas, a lot of feed, different things at that location. So those are kind of covers the retail locations.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have several bulk facilities where we store fuel and propane throughout the San Luis Valley. We also have, from our agronomy division, we have several locations where we store and facilitate the logistics of doing, you know, sending our fertilizers and whatnot out to the field in bulk and applying to the crops here in the valley.
Wow. All that contact information will be listed on this podcast page. If anybody's interested in being able to reach out to you, seeing your different locations and listening to this podcast, they can just go to the page and we'll have all that information listed so people can reach out to you. Let's discuss the benefits of becoming a member of the co-op, because this is, as we were discussing beforehand, one of those big questions in people's minds. Do you have to be a member or not? First of all, what does it mean that the co-op is member-owned?
Just that our members actually own the cooperative. We have two different types of membership, voting and non-voting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the benefits, is the voting power of the voting membership.
Okay.
And then there's special rates on cellular and internet services and the patronage at the end of the year. If the co-op does good and shows a profit, then the members get a part of that patronage back.
Oh, okay. So it really does pay to be a member then.
It does.
Yes.
Why would someone want to become a member besides the payback at the end of the year? What are some of the benefits?
I like to look at the local economics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people do business with a locally owned company, essentially you're buying from yourself. You own the company, you're a member owner. And so local money stays local. Okay. I mean, obviously, we don't have a refinery here in the San Luis Valley, so we're not making gas and diesel. So some of that money has to go over the hill. But at the end of the day, that money stays here as much as can possibly with in comparison to any other businesses. You do not have to be a member to come and do business with us. We're a business open to the public, just like any other business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessary to be a member. I want to emphasize that. But yeah, I like the economic standpoint of it is where I like to go.
So it's not just limited to farmers and ranchers. Anybody can be a member.
Absolutely.
It's almost like a partnership.
You had mentioned earlier a yearly scholarship program. Can you tell me more about that?
The co-op provides two different scholarships. One is the Dennis K. Memorial, a four-year agricultural scholarship, and then the Mike Kelly Memorial Scholarship. I believe the information for this scholarship is available on our website, and it's also available here in our administration office. The purpose of it is to establish scholarships to assist students with financial support, obviously, when they're going into colleges of their choice. The scholarships are in honor of our co-op's founding members in remembrance of Dennis K. and Michael Kelly. Both of them are former employees and who wholeheartedly believed in our young people. Scholarships are made available through the donations of our members and customers, our board members, and from monies collected at our special events and functions. In my opinion, it's a great way to give back to the community and to really sustain the agricultural education that our, you know, youth is actually seeking after. And I think it's a great scholarship foundation set up for both scholarships. The Dennis K. Memorial is for $6,000. Again, it's for a four-year agricultural scholarship.
Oh.
And then the Michael Kelly Memorial Scholarship is for $1,000. So a pretty substantial amount of money going into those scholarships for students.
That is great. And it's mvcoop.com?
Correct.
So let me ask, how has the whole COVID-19 situation affected the co-op, and what have you all had to do to adapt?
You know, having the, I guess, the experience this last, you know, 5 to 6 months with this as the manager in the farm store has been interesting. You know, we've kind of seen a fluctuation of products not being able to be manufactured. Therefore, I can't bring them in or sell them to our members and customers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a little challenging. You know, we are so diverse in what we carry as far as our product line in the farm store that it has been fairly challenging to maintain the amount of stuff that we have on our shelves. But, you know, we tried to at least communicate that with our customers. Most people understand. Most people are aware of what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels like they are understanding in the sense of me not being able to get in certain product or product lines. But, you know, like anything else, at the beginning of COVID, you know, everybody was quarantined at home doing self-help or like home projects, which meant that my sales with all of that went through the roof. And so now there's a shortage with appliances. People purchased tons of food at the beginning of COVID,
mm-hmm.
kind of a panic shopping kind of situation that happened. Therefore, they needed a place for all that food to go. So they bought freezers, and I'm no longer able to get certain appliances from Whirlpool until the end of August or after. So it's been kind of, like I said, it's been kind of a domino effect through the last 5-6 months because we're having manufacturing issues at this point. So we're going to just hold tight and try to make sure that we can get through the winter and provide what we need to for our members and customers as far as heaters and shovels and ice melt and the essentials that we need through our winter months.
Sure.
And fingers crossed, hopefully everything will be available for us.
And obviously you're following current state guidelines as far as, you know,
Correct.
Social distancing and everything too.
Correct.
We've just really been fortunate to be able to stay open because we're ag and so
mm-hmm.
considered essential.
Essential, yeah. Mm-hmm. Why did the Monta Vista Co-op join the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce?
Just to be involved with the community and be abreast of what's going on and help out wherever we can.
Why do you believe local businesses should join our Chamber of Commerce? In other words, what do you all see as the benefits that they're offering?
Trying to pull the businesses together and trying to get new businesses. And when they do open, to welcome them and just to be a community as a whole.
I think awareness is key too, because I know that even before I started working at the co-op, I really wasn't aware of all the services that were offered.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is important too, is just to maintain that awareness amongst the community that, you know, there are certain services available through any local business. It's not just the co-op or a specific business. Otherwise, you know, it's kind of blown my mind as far as how many awesome services the co-op provides, you know, in our effort to kind of advertise and make people aware of, you know, what we offer. That's a good way, a good reason to join the Chamber of Commerce is just to have that exposure amongst the community.
Well, and I think you look at the cooperative business model, at the heart of what we do is It's basically people united and working together for their greater good. And I think that's really what the chamber encompasses on a local level for all businesses. You know, there's power in numbers. There's a lot to be said about unity and working together as a community.
If you had the power to dispel a common misconception or preconceived notion about the Monta Vista Co-op, what would that be?
I'd like to dispel that myth that you have to be a member, or you have to be a farmer, or you have to own a cow, or any type of those things that are out there that people think are associated with our company. We are open to the public, and we encourage people to come in and see all the things we have and what we offer. And you do not have to be a member. You do not have to be involved in ag in any way to come and do business with us.
Where do you see the future for the Monta Vista Co-op?
I think, like I said earlier, agriculture is our roots. I don't see us straying away from that. We're going to stick with the agriculture. We're an ag supply company at heart. We'll continue to supply the agricultural community here in the Valley and also find ways to offer other things to people who are non-ag and you know, look for places that we can kind of cross over to the general public any way we can.
We have a great equipment division out on the North Gun Barrel, and that's one thing. They do sell a lot of tractors to smaller hobby farmers.
Lawnmowers, riding mowers, we sell those out here.
I didn't even know you had those available. Where would you like to see Monta Vista, say, 3 to 5 years from now, and how would y'all propose we get there?
I will say that having had the exposure with my family growing up on a farm all these years, the biggest concern and always has been is water. So I feel like moving forward in the community, I would like to see water be more of a factor. I mean, not that it's not right now, but I can, you know, see us moving forward in the future agriculturally where hopefully there's better resources and things available for people to utilize water resources better here. A more awareness around that. I think people are not fully aware of the water issues at hand in the San Luis Valley. And I feel it's important to at least provide some education behind that for people.
No, let's face it, it's part of the lifeblood of the Valley.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have water, we don't have potatoes, we don't have a lot of things.
It won't exist if we don't have water.
Anything to add to that?
That's kind of a loaded question, Adam, honestly, because there is a lot of things going on in the ag world and with our water, and regulation is really big in Colorado now, as we all know. So I think for us, 3 to 5 years, it's hard to project, but I think we need to just stay abreast of all the issues, of all the regulations. We need to be willing to adapt to the changes as a company, work hard, and I think we'll persevere and be here long term.
So is there any question I should have asked y'all but didn't?
That's a good question.
That is.
I'd like to share something just to kind of, because we were talking a little bit earlier about the services that we offer. I'd like to share just for my department specifically. We offer so much. Our palette at the farm store is huge. And I would like to have that awareness out in the community is how much, you know, we do provide through the co-op. We have a huge clothing department. We have lots of workwear for people who are, you know, looking for good working clothes and winter wear as well. That's kind of a big deal during the wintertime here to stay warm. And we do provide all of that. We have a really big lawn and garden department as well that we also encompasses a lot of outdoor equipment. And like Denise mentioned, you know, we have the equipment division as well. And we also offer like a small part of that here at the farm store. We have a large paint department as well. It's been in such a, you know, a big trend this year as far as the home improvement projects. We have an automatic paint machine and it's been awesome, and we're able to provide that service for our customers. We have a huge, you know, just general hardware department, plumbing, electrical, irrigation products, welding products, petroleum and diesel products as well, heaters and stoves. We have a huge stove sale coming up in September and October, which is awesome. You can't beat our prices on the stoves. Besides that, we offer different services. We offer like a delivery service for things. We have a chainsaw sharpening service. We order Shamrock Foods for folks. We have a Leatherman service. If you need your Leatherman repaired, or we can also order and sell Leathermans. We sell Powder River cattle equipment, and we also do ranch calls. So if there's a farmer rancher out there interested in getting a working system set up at their farmer ranch, we can do a ranch call and help them design that for them for free. It's a free service.
Oh, wow.
We offer hunting and fishing licenses for folks, and we also have a UPS drop-off location. We're not a UPS store, unfortunately. We're just the drop-off location. but it is just a great service for the community.
I've used that myself, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big deal, especially with all those Amazon returns and things. And lastly, we have a huge inventory of PGA trailers, great quality trailers. We offer that inventory for the community as well.
Goodness, that's quite a list.
Yeah, and I don't really feel like I touched on all of it, but, you know, it is just a small portion. You know, we sell appliances and sporting goods and heaters, and we have a huge animal health department. Our feed warehouse offers, like, you know, Scotty mentioned, like a huge variety of feeds. So it is, I feel, doing a disservice if I don't at least mention what we offer, because we're a huge member of the community, but I think sometimes people are unaware of what we actually have available.
Well, they should know now. Yeah. That is a great list. And Denise, anything to add to that?
I just want to say that we have strong leadership and a great group of employees that work here at the Monta Vista Co-op, and just thank all of our customers for their trust in the Monta Vista Co-op now and in the future.
Scotty?
As Stephanie said, the list is so long that you cannot cover it all in one conversation. But to sum it up, we offer answers and solutions to many, many things that families will face in rural America, from lawn and garden to energy needs. Again, it's a very long list, very detailed if you get into it. So if you have problems or issues or something that you're facing, chances are we carry that or we know something about it. So come by, visit with us, and give us an opportunity to try to find an answer to your problem.
I do have one more thing that I have to mention. I've been a part of it since it started, and it's my passion.
Sure.
And it's our Safety Day program that we have every year for our youth, for the third graders. And it's the community does come together to help sponsor that and help put it on. And it's for all different varieties of safety. It's not just farm safety, but it's a great program, and we're going on 18 years.
I was going to say, you had mentioned activities.
We have our 4-H and FFA fair every year that we help sponsor and promote, and that's huge.
Yep, we sponsor a lot of some athletic stuff for some of the local schools. Also, kind of like Kiwanis, we've sponsored some of their fundraising stuff. So we get involved in a lot of things.
And Conquistadors, too, which we're a part of that, which is kind of the welcoming committee for the Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to be involved with the community as much as possible.
That's wonderful. A local business, locally owned by your members.
Sure.
Giving back to our local community.
We also have our Facebook page, too. And I know that, you know, we have a lot of followers on that page. But that page is a good resource to know of different sales options that we have available in, like, various departments through the co-op.
Mm-hmm.
We also will list job openings on that Facebook page as well, and just general information. We have drawings in several of our locations just for fun, just to, you know, give back to customers, and all that information, including, you know, the co-op information and things like that. The website is all found on our Facebook page as well.
Okay, that's facebook.com/MVCoop.
Yes.
All right, well, Scotty, Denise, Stephanie, I want to thank you all for taking the time to talk to us about what you do, and certainly invite people to come over to the Monta Vista Co-op. We've got locations in Alamosa, Monta Vista, and several other places in the valley. And you can reference this podcast page to see all the places, contact them, find out what they're all about. Consider becoming a member, too, because obviously you all are an integral part of our community here.
Thank you.
So what do you do when you score an awesome deal on a downtown building, have 5 young adult children, and are a bit of a shopping addict? Debbie Garcia, former mayor of Monta Vista, decided to open up a unique, stylish, and a one-of-a-kind clothing store and tailor what she offers to this area, offering a wide array of fashionable clothes for both men and women, plus a whole lot more.
Are you looking for a locally owned and operated store that sells fashionable, trendy clothes for both men and women that's not a big box store or 2.5 hours away? Well, look no further than The Finery. It's conveniently located right on Main Street in downtown Monta Vista. To find out all about this relatively new store in our town, we're talking with owner Debbie Garcia. Debbie, welcome to SL Voices.
Hi, Adam. Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. And first, let's get your story. Where are you originally from?
Well, I was born and raised in Windsor, Colorado, which is the northern part of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Graduated from Windsor High School and came to Adams State in 1992 to finish up my teaching degree.
Mm-hmm.
Student taught here in Monta Vista and was fortunate to get a teaching job and been here ever since.
What groups are you involved with locally in the San Luis Valley?
So currently I'm the president of the Monta Vista Community Fund, and that is the only group that I've stayed active with since resigning as mayor.
Oh, you've served as our mayor too.
Correct.
That's great to hear. What do you like to do in your time off? Any hobbies or other special interests?
To be honest, we don't have a whole lot of time off in our family. We have, between my husband and I, we have 5 children and 2 grandchildren, 1 on the way. Our last 2 children are seniors and juniors in high school. So we're busy with sports, family activities, and then my husband has a business. I have a business, so our downtime is slim and none, if any.
Oh, I absolutely understand that. Grandbabies are wonderful, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Can't get enough of ours. Well, Debbie, the Finery is the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce's featured business for August, so congratulations. By the way, you mentioned your husband, Fennell, and his business, Absolute Shine, was featured in the October Chamber podcast last year. To date, believe it or not, it is the most listened to of the Chamber podcast series we produce with nearly 5,000 listens. I'm glad to finally meet you and sit down and talk to you about the Finery. And please feel free to get into as much detail on this as you'd like. First, what is your mission?
So I have for a very, very, very long time always wanted to get involved in clothing. When I was younger, of course, I wanted to be a designer, but I don't have the artistic skills to necessarily do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always been an interest of mine. People who've known me for a very long time know that I worked at Maurice's, even when I was teaching school, just because I love clothes, I love shopping. It's just my passion. That's what I like. And when I started having kids and homecomings were coming up and school dances, it was getting harder and harder and harder to get away, to get to Pueblo, to go buy those things. So I just said, you know, this is a need that we have. It's a need my family has. So I know we're not alone in that. And I have a chance and an opportunity to take my passion and a need and do my thing.
So this is a family-run business?
Yes.
Okay. And you're the owner?
Yes.
Are any of your children working with you too?
My daughter, who is a junior, works there. And then I have a niece who's also a junior that works there.
How long have you actually been in business? How long have the doors been open?
So we opened December 10th of 2018.
Okay. So you're coming up right at a year and a half now.
Right.
Wonderful. That is great. Who came up with the idea for the Finery? Was that you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tell me about what you have available and how did you settle on these particular items that you carry?
So we have a little bit of something for everybody. One of the issues I think that I'm trying to overcome and address is the idea that I only have young, trendy stuff. So we have something in the store for every age, every size. Well, not youth. We don't carry children's clothes. But if you're even tweeny, we do carry some extra smalls all the way up to 3X or 24W. It's not just young, trendy. We have business professional clothes. We have dresses, skirts. We carry outerwear. We carry shoes. But we do realize that because of where we live, people here are pretty casual. And so you're going to find a lot of denim and basics, tees, and that's who we are. That's the need. So in denim, we carry Rock Revival. We carry Miss Me. We carry Flying Monkey. Can-Can, silver, we carry YMI. French dressing jeans is one of our niches, in a sense, that we're only the second store in Colorado to carry that label.
Ah.
It's a woman-owned company out of Canada. All the denim styles are named after famous women who've had breast cancer. $1 from every pair of jeans goes to breast cancer research.
Nice.
One of their requirements in order to carry their label is to have what they call fit labs once a year. They send in a rep that takes measurements of our customer base, finds them styles that fit them. And I think they take that data back and they have a very amazing fit that fits a lot of real people and real sizes.
Not the cookie cutter stuff you find at a big box store.
Correct.
That is awesome. Well, you mentioned offering very casual wear. You also, though, if I'm not mistaken, offer formal wear rental?
So we do the gym's formal wear tuxedo account for men.
Mm-hmm.
In men, we also carry American Fighter, Ruka, Quicksilver. We have silver also for men. So we're trying to expand our men's line. We were just approved for a Billabong account, and we also are now carrying a brand. It's fairly new to the market. It's called Flag and Anthem. Dierks Bentley is their celebrity spokesperson. It's clothes he wears, so I know that's going to probably fill a need with a lot of our Western people.
Nice. You've got a whole wide variety of things available.
Yes.
What is it about shopping at the finery that makes it so appealing?
Honestly, I would like to think that the reason why people come is because we are going to offer that small town personal touch. The majority of the people that do come through the door, I know or I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
We use a square system, so we're able to set up accounts for all of our customers. We can go in, we can track their purchasing, we can get sizing information. So we're able to kind of cater our ordering to what we're selling and who's buying what and fill those needs of what we're missing. I just flat out ask. I ask them, tell me what do you need? What are we lacking? What would you like to see me have?
So it's that personal touch. That's what it's all about. People walk
right
in, and again, they're not wandering through a great big store trying to figure it out. Someone's right there talking to you. Someone's there helping you.
Right. Or I'll even shoot off a text to them and say, hey, we got something here I think you're going to like. Next time you're by, swing in, I'll show it to you.
I like that. That's really what it's all about with small business these days. You've got to have that personal touch with people. You really do. That is wonderful. Do you have gift cards or online shopping available?
So we do offer gift cards that you can load in any monetary amount. Also, we do have a website. It's the www.thefineryboutique.com. Most, not all, but most of our stuff is now online. We are doing free shipping. If you can't make it in, you can always go online.
And all that contact information, of course, will be on this podcast webpage. So if somebody's listening, they want to reach out to you. Your phone number, your address, your website, Facebook, all of that will be on there. So easy to get a hold of you. Debbie, what's been the biggest challenge you've faced since opening?
So this COVID shutdown has probably by far been the biggest challenge. Not just so much being closed, but my vendors were also shut down. So I had 2.5 months of no sales, 2.5 months of no shipments, trying to change from early spring, late winter to summer. And now, 1 month in, trying to get into back to school. So we're a little overstocked at the moment and trying to find creative places to put everything. And
mentioning this whole COVID-19 situation, what have you had to do to adapt throughout all of this?
Well, it's obviously really forced me to get my online store up to date and running, trying to stay on top of making sure all my inventory is available online.
Well, you're obviously following the current guidelines that are in place and are adjusting as these change.
Yeah, it's just definitely been a challenge to just try and deal with inventory and ordering, especially being a new business and still trying to even find your tribe and find out when to order, you know, at what quantity do we need to get down to reorder, and not having that consistency yet to really get the tracking down.
If you had the power to dispel a common misconception or preconceived notion about the finery, what would that be?
So like I mentioned earlier, I think the preconceived notion is that we're just this young, trendy shop where only high school girls go. Everything I wear comes from the finery. I have many, many customers that come in and buy work clothes that are professional women. I have my mom, who's almost 82, who shops at the finery. It is a store for all people of all ages. It's not just size zero. It's anybody up to size 3X, 24. We have a maternity line.
If someone comes in and finds something, but you don't quite have it in their size, can it be special ordered?
Yes and no.
Okay.
One of the struggles that we do face is certain labels only run extra small to extra large.
Mm-hmm.
Certain labels only run small, medium, large. Some labels only run 1, 2, 3X. Some labels run the whole gamut. They run extra small to 3 extra large.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the challenges is we have women that want a certain top in a small, but it's 3X, and we have somebody else who wants a small shirt in a 3X. Well, it just depends on the label and what their size range is. But we do our best to find something comparable. One of my ordering sites has a search engine where you can upload pictures into it, and it searches the database to find things that are comparable.
Ah.
So we will do our very, very best to get you as close to the item as we possibly can.
That's a great answer. Why did the finery join the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce?
Having been the former mayor, I know it's important to support business. It's important to be involved. It's important to be active. Mm-hmm. Like I say, I've had to step back considerably since opening my business, and I'm not nearly as community involved as I was at one time, but it still doesn't mean it's not important.
Well, again, you've got a full-time business to run. You've got a family that's about grown. Your husband has a business. You guys are busy.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. And you're obviously not just business owners, you're entrepreneurs in this community. Where do you see the finery in the future, Debbie?
Well, long term, I would like to see the finery be bigger. I would love to eventually be in a bigger space. And I would like to see it be a little more self-sufficient, where I could walk away a little more often and know that, you know, it's kind of more of a well-oiled machine that's got some procedures and policies in place that are routine and normal, if there is such a thing as normal anymore.
What about expanding to other towns, other outlets?
We've been approached to expand to outlying communities.
Just not time yet.
Yeah, we're not fine-tuned in enough.
Well, I'm sure you'll get there. Where would you like to see Monta Vista, say, 3 to 5 years from now, and how would you propose we get there?
I would like to see Monta Vista obviously grow and have more options, have a vibrant downtown, have wonderful housing and schools, just make it the community that everybody wants to come to. How do we get there? I think it starts with us. I think it starts with us being supportive of each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think it starts with us shopping in our own community and eating in our own community. I think it starts with us being kind and caring and respectful to our neighbors and all around just being good to each other.
Very well said. Anything else that you would like to mention?
If you haven't been to the finery, we would love to have you. We'd love to see you. We'd love to help you find something that you're looking for. And we look forward to seeing you in the near future.
Thank you, Debbie. We appreciate you taking time to talk to us about the finery. Again, a locally owned, locally operated store right here in Monta Vista with trendy clothes for both men and women. It's not your standard big box store. They cater specifically to the people in our area, and you're adjusting and fine-tuning what you carry to even better match what people want here in our local area. So certainly invite people to come on down, check out the finery right here at 839 First Avenue in Monta Vista. Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you.
Rain Brews is like a quirky grandma's house. Couches, tables, and chairs are all used and were bought at garage sales and thrift stores. Everything doesn't match, but it's comfortable. They have simple food and all kinds of drinks, hot or cold. A tap house, a coffee shop, a place to hang out with friends, old and new. Stop by Rain Brews, affectionately known as Monta Vista's living room. Conveniently located in the Facet Building at 104 Adams Street. You can call them at 719-588-9957. That's 719-588-9957. Or visit their website, rain.ws. The mission of the Monta Vista Co-op is to provide options and information, leading-edge technology, quality products, and services to enhance profitability of the membership today and in the future. Since 1949, they have been offering a wide array of home, farm, and ranching supplies, such as grain, feed, fertilizer, petroleum, equipment, supplies, car care, farm implements, clothing, trailers, and the list goes on. Remember, you don't have to be a member to shop at the Monta Vista Co-op. Their main store is located at 1901 East Highway 160 in Monta Vista. You can call them at 719-852-5181. That's 719-852-5181.
5181 or visit their website, mvcoop.com. In the mood for some local shopping? Then drop by The Finery, a locally owned and operated store selling fashionable and trendy clothes for both men and women. Also conveniently located right on Main Street in downtown Monta Vista at 839 First Avenue. Debbie and her staff are ready to help you find the right clothes for any occasion, including formal wear. Stop by today or call them at 719-852-8849. That's 719-852-8849. Or visit their website, thefineryboutique.com. Have you considered becoming a member of the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce? You should. To find out about all the great benefits of being a Chamber of Commerce member and how to join, stop by the Chamber office located at 947 First Avenue. You can also call them at 719-852-2731 or visit their website, montavistachamber.org. And be sure to check back next month for another Monta Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast on slvoices.com or any major podcast platform.
The Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce is proud to sponsor the monthly Monta Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast, highlighting member businesses, events, and organizations. The Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce exists to promote businesses and events in the Monta Vista area. They serve its members and the community at large by planning and hosting many local events, social media promotions, advertising, and help to improve community relations and communications among the residents and guests of the Monta Vista area. Their mission is to advance a sustainable business environment and improve the quality of life for the community. The Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce is located at 947 First Avenue in Monta Vista. You can call them at 719-852-2731. That's 719-852-2731. Or visit their website, montavistachamber.org. That's montavistachamber.org. And check back at the beginning of every month for another Monta Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast.
We appreciate you telling your friends to listen to the podcast on slvoices.com and check out our extensive calendar of events, more listings in one location than any other website around. You can help spread the word, too, by joining our Facebook group, SL Voices, Your Voice in the San Luis Valley, and liking our posts on other social media outlets. Also, check out our Instagram page for behind-the-scenes looks at what we do. And please, patronize our local sponsors. Remember to support the businesses here in the Valley. Most are owned and operated by your friends, family, and neighbors. We all love this area and want to see it flourish. And you can help by buying and supporting locally in your own and surrounding communities. Check back for another local podcast soon. Until then, this has been San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley.